Hey everyone, it's Marvin. This episode of Books and Boba is brought to you by Home Interrupted, a new podcast from our partners at Feet in Two Worlds. Climate change affects everyone, but it doesn't affect everyone equally. Immigrants often bear a unique burden due to climate change, but they're also leading the way with impactful solutions. Feet in Two Worlds, the news outlet and journalism training organization for immigrant voices, presents Home Interrupted. From flooded basement apartments in New York City to indigenous Maya farming practices in Nebraska, Feet in Two Worlds Home Interrupted brings you deeply reported original stories from across the United States. Episodes drop each week starting April 2nd. Find Feet in Two Worlds Home Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to
Whoa!
Potluck.
Listening to Books and Boba, a book club and podcast featuring books by Asian and Asian American authors. My name is Mervin Yue.
And I'm Rira Yu.
And it is the middle of January. So you know what that means. It's time for another edition of Books and Boba Book News, where we go over the new releases, publishing, and other news in the Asian American literary world. I don't know why I explained it that way, but we're going to just stick with it.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with it.
How are you doing, Rira?
I'm doing okay.
Have you been able to avoid this like death plague that's been going around? The super flu?
Oh, the super flu?
Yeah.
Well, considering that I like have been locking myself in my apartment and not leaving, yeah, I've been pretty much safe.
That's nice. I caught two versions of it. I caught a cold when I was in China, because I was climbing a mountain in the rain. I say climbing a mountain. I was like going upstairs to like a temple. And then after I got home, I caught whatever was going around here. And so it's been a pretty sicky January so far. But I'm healthy now, but I'm about to go to Sundance.
You're about to go to a cold state.
To do some coverage for another podcast that I produce. And we'll see how that goes. But good thing is I have all my winter gear with me. I have my coat, I have my boots, I got my vests. I got, you know how like in winter, you don't really care if you look good. You just want to stay warm.
I don't know what you're talking about. When I was living in New York, all of my winter gear were like really nice. I actually really cared about like how nice my coats and my boots were.
I don't care at all.
You should bring one of those, what is it, like red ginseng drinks that they sell at like the Asian supermarkets. It's really good for preventing colds.
Is that what your mom tells you?
I guess, but I drink it as an adult, and considering that I haven't gotten sick during this death plague, well,
yeah, my mom makes this weird I don't even know what to call it, but it has ginseng in it and it has Coke.
What?
Yeah, like boiled Coke, like hot Coke with ginger.
Oh,
I think the like, desired effect is to coat your throat.
Oh, okay.
Which is, you know,
I'm pretty sure the red ginseng drink that you buy at supermarkets, it's literally like herbal tea mixed in with ginseng, which is like not bad. There's no like secret ingredient or anything.
I mean, it's just, yeah, it's just ginseng, right? Just is it an herb? It's not an herb. It's like a root.
It's a root.
Anyways. It's the middle of January. Rira's been hard at work, as always, compiling all our new releases and book news that comes across our news desk. And how's it looking?
There's a lot of books in January, and I'm pretty sure I missed a lot, but
it's all right. Well, I mean, if you did miss any, I'm sure our fellow book club members will help us fill in the blanks. Again, if you'd like to chat Asian American book news with your fellow Asian American book enthusiasts, you can come to our Goodreads group. Just search Books and Boba at Goodreads.com. Oh, yeah. Don't forget, our January book is Pachinko by Min Jin Lee. So hopefully you all are hard at work reading. I haven't started it, to be honest. This might be a book, audiobook, but we'll see. I have a lot of downtime in Sundance.
Yeah, you're taking a flight. So.
Yeah, so hopefully I can make a sizable dent. It's bigger than I thought it would be.
Yeah, but I don't think it's longer than any like tome books. I think it's manageable. Like, I wouldn't give someone like a 700-page book to read in 1 month. That is a little bit much, even for me.
Yeah. If you have read the book, go ahead and start discussing it on our Goodreads forum. We have a thread going for our January book club pick, and we've already had a couple people post about it. So,
yeah. Also, yeah. We will be taking comments and questions.
If you have any strong takes you'd like to share with the group on the podcast, please. Let's say we'll probably record our discussion at the end of the month. So as long as you get it in by the 30th, we should be able to get it on the pod. But on that note, let's get to the purpose of the episode, which is to let you know what new books are coming out this month. Reba, why don't you start with our first book?
Our first book is My Friend Fear, Finding Magic in the Unknown by Meera Lee Patel, published by Tarcher Perigee, and it released on January 2nd. A mix of personal reflections, inspirational quotes, questions for reflection, and breathtaking watercolor visuals, My Friend Fear asserts that having big fear is an opportunity to make big changes, to discover the remarkable potential inside ourselves.
So, another picture book, I assume?
It's a self-help book.
Okay, nice. Next up is Escape from Aleppo by N.H. Senzai, published by Paula Wiseman Books, released on January 2nd. It is December 17th, 2010, Nadia's 12th birthday, and the beginning of the Arab Spring. Soon, anti-government protests erupt across the Middle East, and one by one, countries are thrown into turmoil. As civil war flares in Syria and bombs fall across Nadia's home city of Aleppo, her family decides to flee towards the Turkish border. Inspired by current events, this novel sheds light on the complicated situation in Syria that has led to an international refugee crisis, and tells the story of one girl's journey to safety.
By the way, Escape from Aleppo is a middle grade novel.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I think there's always like this debate of whether children's books and middle grade novels should have like darker themes.
Mm.
But like I personally believe that you can't shelter your kid from everything.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually better for like development to know about
What's going on in the world.
Yeah, what's going on in the world and how I don't want to say how the real world works, but like, you know, kind of like dip their toe into like how the world is like and how unfair it can be sometimes and how to confront it in a positive manner.
What's next?
Next is The Widows of Malabar Hill by Sujata Massey, published by Soho Press, and it released on January 9th. Set in 1920s India, The Widows of Malabar Hill follows Parveen Mistry, Bombay's first female lawyer, as she investigates a suspicious will on behalf of three Muslim widows living in full purdah when the case takes a turn towards the murderess.
Ooh.
I love historical fiction mixed with murder mystery. Love it.
Next up is Sea of Strangers by Lang Leave, published by Andrews McMeel Publishing, released on January 9th. Sea of Strangers by Lang Leave picks up from her previous international best-selling books, including Love and Misadventure, Lullabies, and The Universe of Us. Leave's newest collection of poetry and prose explores themes of self-discovery and empowerment. So this is her next collection of short stories and poetry, right?
I think it's mostly poetry.
Mm.
But yeah, we interviewed Lang Leave in an earlier episode.
Yeah, we talked to her about her
Sad Girls
debut novel,
yeah.
Sad Girls. So congrats to Lang for her new book. Check it out.
I remember her telling us about it like in that interview too. So it's like mind-blowing that so much time has passed.
Love it.
Next up is The Boat People by Sharon Bala, published by Doubleday Books, released on January 9th. When a cargo ship carrying Mahindan and 500 fellow refugees from Sri Lanka reaches Vancouver's shores, the young father thinks he and his six-year-old son can finally start a new life. Instead, the group is thrown into a detention processing center, with government officials and news headlines speculating that among the boat people are terrorists responsible for countless suicide attacks. As the refugees become subject to heavy interrogation, Mahindan begins to fear that a desperate act taken in Sri Lanka to fund their escape may now jeopardize his and his son's chance for asylum.
Love, Hate, and Other Filters by Samir Ahmed, published by Soho Teen, released on January 16th. High school senior Maya Aziz is torn between worlds. Her parents expect her to be a good Indian daughter by attending a college close to their suburban Chicago home and pairing off with an older Muslim boy her mom deems suitable. But Maya has other plans. Her dream is to study filmmaking at NYU. However, when Maya musters up the courage to break the news to her parents, a terrorist attack occurs in another Midwestern city. In an instant, Maya's community, consumed by fear and hatred, becomes unrecognizable, and her life changes forever.
This is one of the more highly anticipated YA novels this year. I'm definitely going to go buy it as soon as I have money.
That's a twist. I mean, it goes from like your typical YA setup to like, oh, here are things that, you know, brown people have to deal with these days because of things that happen around the world.
Like, I'm really glad that there are books, middle grade and young adult, that tackle the topic of Islamophobia and how young people have to deal with it on like an everyday basis. Like, there was That Thing You Call a Heart by Sheba Khan and Amina's Voice. Like, there were a lot of books like that last year, and I'm hoping that it kind of continues this year. We'll see.
But
yeah.
Hopefully we'll be checking out some of those books ourselves too.
Next up is Everything Here Is Beautiful by Mira T. Lee, published by Pamela Dorman Books, released on January 16th. Told from alternating perspectives, Everything Here Is Beautiful is about the bond between two sisters, frayed by mental illness. When their mother dies and her younger sister Lucia starts hearing voices, it's up to Miranda, the older, responsible one, to fight for the help her sister needs. But Lucia impetuously plows ahead, marrying a big-hearted older man only to leave him suddenly to have a baby with a young Latino immigrant. When Lucia inevitably crashes, Miranda leaves her own self-contained life in Switzerland to rescue her sister again. But only Lucia can decide whether she wants to be saved. And that is Everything Here Is Beautiful by Mira T. Lee.
Good to see more people tackle mental illness, too.
Yeah, that is a topic that definitely needs to be told more in stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next up is Mark's Woman by Rati Mehotra. Published by Harper Voyager, releases on January 23rd. Kira is the youngest markswoman in the Order of Kali, a highly trained sisterhood of elite warriors who are armed with deadly telepathic blades and sworn to protect the people of Asiana. Rira's not impressed with my joke. Like all sisters of the Order, Kira has pledged to repudiate her former life, yet she secretly desires to avenge her dead family. When her beloved mentor dies and Tamsin, the powerful, dangerous mistress of mental arts, assumes control of the Order, Kira is forced on the run. She's certain that Tamsin murdered her mentor, and now she must find proof before her sisterhood turns down a path of darkness. Lots of things there that I
love. Yeah. I heard the world is pretty much like a vastly unpopulated Asia, so that does sound interesting. Next up, we have A Land of Permanent Goodbyes by Atiya Abawi. Hopefully I pronounced that correctly. If not, please correct me.
Just go with it.
Published by Philomel Books, releases on January 23rd. The novel follows Tarek, a Syrian teenager, as he journeys through Syria, Turkey, Greece, Macedonia, and Germany after a bomb strikes his city and kills most of his family members. Destiny serves as an omniscient narrator, depicting the Syrian conflict as part of a long chain of struggles spanning through time. It's interesting that Destiny is like a sentient being.
Yeah.
Like, the only other book that I've read that kind of does a similar thing is The Book Thief, and Death is like a narrator there. So,
okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's like an interesting narrative device.
Tool, device. Yeah, device. That's the word I was looking for. next up is Cast in Deception, The Chronicles of Elantra, number 13 by Michelle Sagara, published by Mira Books, releases on January 23rd. Private Kaylin Nea thought her home couldn't possibly get more crowded, especially with politically dangerous guests. But when one of her housemates, Anarion, decides to undertake the barony test of name, his friends refuse to let him face his task alone. And Kaylin's sentient home, Helen, is the only suitable structure of shielding the rest of Elantra from the magnitude of their power. As political tensions ramp up, the shadows beneath the high halls are seeking a freedom that has never been possible before. Kaylin must find a way to keep those shadows from escaping, or that freedom will destroy her city, the empire, and everything she holds dear.
Wow, number 13 is series.
Have you heard of this series before?
Like here and there, but like I obviously don't know anything about the world or the characters, but yeah, it's impressive. 13 books in the series.
Oh, I'm sure if you're a fan of the Chronicles of Elantra, much of what I just said makes sense to you. But that's the current list of new releases for January 2018. Again, if there's any books that we missed or any new announcements that come up, please let us know on the Books and Boba Goodreads forums, where you can discuss with your fellow book club members. But on that note, let's get into the news. There's been a couple big breaking news, especially in terms of Asian American written books being turned into
film
and TV projects, yeah. Right? First up, Hulu is developing a half-hour comedy adapted from Jay Chang's The Wangs vs. The World, a novel about a wealthy but fractured Chinese immigrant family that had it all, only to lose every last cent, and about the road trip they take across America that binds them back together. John M. Chu will direct the script if it gets greenlit for a pilot, and I hope it does. It seems right up his alley. It's like the perfect follow-up to Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah, Hulu is definitely chasing after that Crazy Rich Asians following.
So I've seen the book on your bookshelf, but
I have not read it. It's one of those books that are on my bookshelf, but I haven't cracked it open.
It sounds like if this just becomes like Asian American Arrested Development, I'll be very happy.
I feel like it would be though, because I did read maybe like the first chapter a long time ago when I first got the book. And I remember, like, the dad being, like, really funny, like, really self-entitled and being like, man, if this was, like, if we were living in China, like, people would be more subservient to me. And it's so ridiculous. And I haven't read, like I said, I haven't read the book, but it sounds fun.
Yeah.
And I've heard great things about it. Constance Wu actually recommended The Wangs versus the World for Book of the Month Club. So, she personally recommended it.
Nice.
So if that, like, I'm guessing that it was good.
Yeah.
And we have another book by an Asian American author that is getting adapted for the screen.
Yeah.
Not TV, though. It's film. So LD Entertainment has optioned the rights to Celeste Ng's 2014 debut novel, Everything I Never Told You.
I need to correct you there. 2014 debut novel and Books and Boba book club pick. Everything I Never Told You.
I was going to mention that it was like our second book
we should
club
have,
pick.
We should create a badge or sticker to put on all the books that we pick.
That is something we have to talk about
and
in the next potluck meeting.
And then we can go on to and stick it on every single book that we pick.
Books and Boba approved.
Official. It's got to be one of those removable stickers.
Yeah.
So we don't get in trouble, but I think we should partner with a bookstore that will let us do that.
Someone should sponsor us so we can buy like 10 copies of that book and just have stickers and send it out to people. But like shipping books is really expensive.
But yeah.
Some news about who is involved in the adaptation. Michael DeLuca is on board as a producer, and he's produced The Social Network, Captain Phillips, Moneyball. And Julia Cox is attached to write the screenplay. Now, I told Marvin this earlier. I am a little bit concerned about how the Asian American representation is going to be in this adaptation. Because Julia Cox is not Asian American. And I'm not saying that like she can't do the research and like seek consultants, but like, it does worry me a little because, I don't know, like, I'm a bit concerned. Like, I do hope that they get, like, an Asian American writer or director on board soon.
I mean, they have Celeste Ng, who is an Asian American writer, who's
yeah, but some, but sometimes, is. I don't know how involved Celeste Ng is on this project. Mm. I mean, I'm putting faith in her that she wouldn't have sold the rights to her book to a production company that doesn't care.
Yeah, I mean, following her Twitter and her like just like social persona, I would imagine representation is very important to her, especially since it's her book. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a state of being that we're always suspicious when we don't see any like,
because the thing is like most of the characters in that cast are mixed race Asian, mixed race Asian Americans, and that experience is very different for it's just like a different experience, and like I just hope that they get it right. I have so much anxiety over this.
I know, and it's something that we talked a lot about when we discussed the book. You can check out, I think it's like episode 2 of
Books. It was literally episode 2. It was the second book that we read for this book club.
This is a story about a second and third generation Asian American family. Like the dad
is second generation.
So I hope they don't cast like some like, you know,
like, yeah, like don't cast someone
with an accent
because he doesn't have one.
I mean, his whole character is,
he teaches like American history.
But yeah, no, I'm very excited because I think this is a story which can represent the Asian American experience, especially when it comes to family expectations and like the
microaggressions
and also just the feeling of never measuring up.
Yeah.
This is it. Like this story it's a beautiful story. Rira and I both enjoyed it a lot, even though it's kind of depressing.
But it was still a really good book, and it left an impression on like our book club. So
yeah,
I am very invested in the result of this adaptation.
I'm eager to see casting news and how it goes. But it's definitely a story that deserves to be made well, and we're hoping that that's the case.
You know, there's a lot of film adaptations of books by Asian American authors. We have Crazy Rich Asians. It's coming out in August.
August 17th.
And then we have To All the Boys I've Loved Before by Jenny Han.
Right.
The Hotel on the Corner of Bitter Jamie and Sweet Ford's, by Jamie Ford.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there was anything else, but that's like four
Wings
books.
Versus the World.
Yeah, I mean, the two books that we just announced. Yeah. That's six books. Like being made into movies, that is really something. Like I have never seen this happen in my entire life.
I feel like Hollywood is starving for stories that are different, that come from like a diverse place. And there's so many like diverse authors out there, like writing YA fiction, writing adult fiction, writing even children's fiction.
Yeah.
That, you know, I mean, even in like black literature, there's a lot of adaptations, right? And The Hate U Give, that's coming out
in 2018. They already wrapped production. Yeah.
There's such a huge source of unique and diverse stories that's already there, that has a track record and has a fan base.
I mean, like diversity begins on the page, like whether it's an original script or if it's an adaptation. That's why it is so important to pay attention to books by authors of color, because those can be made into plays, into movies. Yeah. And I get really mad when we have a lot of actor friends in LA, obviously, because of Hollywood.
Because we live here.
Yeah, because we live here. I get so mad when they say that they don't read books.
Mm.
And I'm like, you're an actor. You should be one of the most well-read people I know, because you're going to be acting out characters who are coming from books, and of course like you should have training in reading plays, and I don't know, I get really like annoyed by that, but that's just me being like a perfectionist.
Is that something they teach though? I'm sure like writers, they tell you should read all the time, but actors, I don't know.
No, actors should read more. Like I don't know if that's because I'm from, like I went to school in New York, and like actors were told you need to read a lot. And then I moved to like LA, and that same value isn't there. I don't know. Like it depends on who your teacher is, mentor is, and where you were trained. But yeah, I get really annoyed when actor friends say that they haven't read a lot of books.
But yeah, LD Entertainment, you're on notice. Don't mess this up or Rira will be very angry.
And I mean, I'm no one of consequence, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you threaten them.
We're going to get all our Twitter followers to talk crap. Oh my God. But yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic because Celeste is involved. And hopefully she is going to be very involved. Like it's like her baby. It's her debut novel.
It's her debut novel. Yeah. I actually really want Little Fires Everywhere to be made into a movie.
I think if this gets made, like that's next.
Yeah.
That
would be a really good movie. Like even better than Everything I Never Told You. Because like you have such a diverse cast, not just like racially, but just like economically and like generation wise. So it would be a really good movie.
Yeah.
Someone should, you know, pitch it.
I'm sure it's already making the rounds.
That's true. Our last bit of news. So earlier last week, someone on Twitter criticized the names of the Indian American characters in Sandhya Menon's novels. Sandhya Menon is the author of When Dimple Met Rishi. And I forgot the title of her second book, but
From Twinkle with Love,
I think. Yeah. So the tweeter said that Dimple and Twinkle were silly names. And then a couple of people informed her that those names were common Indian names. And then the tweeter wrote, quote, "No, but pretty sure they aren't Indian names. Sounds like made-up contemporary names to me." And holy crap, it was a thing on Twitter for a hot second. And and like Sandhya Menon like said, like, "Hey, like I'm Indian. I was born in India and came to the States when I was 15. Like I know my Indian names. Why are you criticizing an own voices author on whether their culture is correct in their books?" It's
so dumb. I can't think of a better word. It's like to make the statement, sure, whatever, you don't know any better. But when multiple people from that culture are correcting you on that, like your answer shouldn't be, "No, I'm pretty sure I'm right." Like you have this tweet that's getting traction for the wrong reasons. And instead of doing damage control or instead of like setting the record straight, like, "Oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry." Or like, "I didn't know that. That's interesting." Right.
Yeah. Because the thing is, like the people who corrected her were pretty polite. They were just like, "Oh, just so you know, like they are common Indian names."
Yeah.
And
it wasn't until she responded that people were like, "Oh, this is dumb.
This like
is,
WTF, this person's a troll."
Yeah.
And like naming traditions are different by culture. And if you're not from that culture, then shut up, shut up and listen. But the funny thing is, Sandhya Menon's Twitter username is now Dimple is a real name.
Yeah.
And I just like bursted out laughing when I saw that.
I feel like I don't want to get all our news from Twitter, but that's where the social conversation is these days. And hopefully like stuff like this is a learning lesson.
Yeah. And just so people know, I don't get all of my book news from Twitter. I like check Publishers Weekly and other publishing sites. I do want to mention, because we didn't say any book deals or any like publishing news for like our news section. Well, not publishing news, but like specifically like rights and book deals. The reason for that is that usually Publishers Weekly posts that on Tuesdays, and I don't think they have posted it yet. So we might go over those in the next episode, depending on whether or not there are Asian American authors and on that list.
We'll catch you up eventually, so don't worry.
I'm on it. On it, you guys.
And don't forget, once again, our January 2018 book club pick is Pachinko by Min-Jin Lee. How far have you gotten?
I haven't started.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to binge through it, even though I told myself I shouldn't do that.
Oh, it's the best way to read, for sure.
I'm just going to have to wake up early on like on a weekend and just power through it.
Yeah. But on that note, that'll do it for this episode of Books and Boba. Thanks again for listening. Again, if you have anything to add to the book news, if you have any feedback for us about the show, please sound off on our Goodreads forum. Go to goodreads.com and type in Books and Boba. And for those of you new to the show, don't forget to check out our interview that we put up last week with Fonda Lee, the author of Jade City. We had a lot of fun talking to her about her book and about the fantasy genre in general. Don't forget to, if you do like what you hear, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you find your podcasts. Leave us a nice rating review. That's something we haven't really been asking a lot. But if you do like our show, give us like a nice rating. I was about to say 5-star, but you don't have to. You can give us a 4-star and be fine. And write something nice about us.
Or like, if you have any complaints, write it, but still give us a 5-star five-star rating. I will read it if it's a 5-star rating and it's a complaint.
It'll help us get out to more people looking for podcasts like ours. And if you know anybody who's interested in reading, especially books by Asian Americans, please share our podcast. It really helps us out. Word of mouth is really the best way to grow a podcast. Yeah. And we're really happy that our family, our book club is growing. You guys are all our members and are all loved equally.
I feel like out of the podcasts in our Potluck Collective, we are probably the nerdiest and smart and like the, I don't know. Like,
I think we're the most active on Twitter too, but that's all thanks to Rira and her social media skills.
My my manic personality.
Yeah, I appreciate it because I cannot with Twitter. But
well, that's it for this episode. Stay tuned for our next episode, which will be our discussion on Pachinko.
Yeah, don't forget to read, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Bye. Keep reading. Bye.
Books and Boba was hosted by Marvin Yue and Rira Yu, and produced and edited by Marvin Yue. Books and Boba is a proud member of the Potluck Podcast Collective, a collective of podcasts featuring unique voices from the Asian American community. If you like their show, you might also like They Call Us Bruce. They Call Us Bruce is a podcast where hosts Jeff Yang and Phil Yu present an unfiltered conversation about what's happening in Asian America. You can find They Call Us Bruce and the other great programs of the Potluck Collective by going to the website www.podcastpotluck.com.